The false doctrine which I'm going to deal with this morning was spotted in a store window in a shopping center. A little sign in the window read as follows: "You can't take it with you, so spend some of it here." Now, this is our next false doctrine: you can't take it with you. And I don't know how long it has been around, but I would imagine for hundreds of years. Sometimes when a husband is presented by his wife with many gifts or many purchases or many presents from a shopping spree, and he is rather upset, she says justifiably, "Well, honey, you can't take it with you." We enjoy spending money. We enjoy buying things. We have the idea if we don't do it now, there's no way in the world we can do it when we're dead. So when we're gone, the opportunity to spend the money's gone. So if you can't take it with you, spend some of it now. It only takes one word to answer the question, how much did he leave behind? And of course, that one simple word is everything. Many jokes are, I guess, made about this false doctrine. "No man ought to be allowed to leave so much money," a friend replied. "Oh, you're a little hard on him. I was with him when he died, and let me assure you, he didn't want to leave any of it behind." In one sense, this doctrine contains some truth. That is, you cannot take earthly possessions with you when you die. We find this is clearly stated in 1 Timothy 6:7. "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of this world." The same truth is taught in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 15. "He came forth of his mother's womb, he shall go as he came, and shall not take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand." Now, we know it be a fact that there's no way that you can take things that you have purchased, that you treasure, that you love, with you when you die. Some people have this idea. I understand that the pharaohs of Egypt would have all their treasure and all their gold and so forth buried with them, thinking, of course, that they could take it with them. But we know that is not possible. But Jesus did say you can lay away treasures in heaven. You can put treasures on the layaway plan. Now, in Matthew 6, 19 through 20, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, you can't take it with you, that's true, but you sure can send some of it on ahead. And that's what Jesus was saying here. If you say you can't take it with you, you kind of have to say that's implied to a lost man. Because it's true, he'll not take any of his earthly treasures with him beyond this world. You may rake, and he may scrape, and he may borrow, and he may save, but he'll lose it all when he goes to the grave. Now, this saying can only apply, or should only apply, to a man that does not know Christ to be his Lord and Savior. It need not be true, and it should not be true, for anyone who is a born-again Christian. We can take it with us, or at least we can lay it up before we get there. We can ship some of our treasures down here ahead of us to heaven. We can do it, and we ought to do it. Jesus says you can lay up treasures in heaven. Now, a lost man can't. First place, he's not even going to heaven. But you can, as a Christian, put away in your distant future treasures that you will have throughout eternity. Now, the Bible talks about three kinds of gifts that God is going to have for us. One is known as rewards, and I think that's for service, and he'll give that to you. And then there's going to be crowns, and again, that is for a special kind of service. That, again, will be something God will give to you. But when it comes to treasures, as I understand it, it's something you're going to give to yourself. Now, the Lord is going to lay up for us rewards if we serve him, and he's going to lay up for us crowns if we do certain kinds of service, But he'll not lay up treasures for you. That is something you're going to have to do. And that's not done by service. Today in our land, there is a heavy stress on preparing for one's retirement when he gets through working, whether it be at 60 or 65. That is, lay up now for when you're laid off permanently. We are urged to get rich, if possible, before we have to relax and take it easy. I think man has a good concept and the right idea in being concerned about his living conditions in the distant future. There's nothing anti-Christian about being concerned about your future. This is taught by the ants, it's taught by the bees, it's taught by the squirrels. The animals have this instinct born into them that we're going to have to take some kind of measure for the future. Living from paycheck to paycheck really invites disastrous events down the road. The old saying, easy come, easy go, but it's not going to be so easy when it's gone. Now, almost everyone is concerned, especially as they begin to get up in years, about the planning of those days when their income shall be drastically reduced and they are placed on retirement. And thus, a lot of men seek to plan for the future by investing in stocks and insurance and bonds and real estate, retirement plans, and, of course, now I guess they buy gold. The government feels that most people will not take care of their future, and so they force people to go on to Social Security. And then you read when a company has a strike against it, sometimes one of the great issues is the retirement plan for the employees. Now, this is all well and good, but brethren, let me tell you, there is a future that goes beyond retirement time. A lot of Christians seem to forget that old age is not the end of it. For you see, old age is just a hop, skip, and a jump from birth. We are a child. We are not a child of this life only. But we are a child of eternal life. That is, when a child is born, he is born into not just this earthly life, but he is born into a life eternal. And again, most people do not see that concept. They look at a lifespan maybe between 0 and 75 or 80 years. That's the life expectancy. That's not true. The life expectancy of a person born, a human being, is eternity. And we need to get this concept in our mind. This is not our lifespan. The lifespan is forever. And so we need to do more than look after an earthly retirement plan. We need some kind of eternal retirement plan. We think more of treasures forever than treasures just for retirement. Now, it's not wrong to lay up retirement here on earth, but you're going to come out of retirement. Death will take you out of retirement and it'll put you right back on the active list in heaven, or if you're not a Christian, of course, in hell. But there's no benefits whatsoever for a man that's lost. Now, you have probably some kind of investments, whether just a plain insurance policy or a savings account. You have some kind of investments probably going for you on this earth. You've invested in something here on earth. Now, what do you have going for you in heaven? What have you invested in that's going to bring you dividends in heaven? The same thing that motivates you to invest now on earth should motivate you to invest also for the hereafter in heaven. Do you have any idea how well off you're going to be in old age? And some folks say, well, I've sat down and I've figured it up now, and I can pretty well tell you what my income will be when I reach 65. Well, do you have any idea what it's going to be like in heaven? Do you have any idea how well off you're going to be in eternity? What are you going to have there? Can you sit down and sort of figure that up? Well, you can in some respect if you know how much you've invested. That's important. Now, Jesus says you better take care of your investments in heaven. Lay up for yourselves, not treasures on earth. And I don't think Christ simply means that you can't have anything here and you can't plan for any future. But don't overemphasize this life against the next life. It's a good idea to lay up treasure. But he seems to put the heavier stress on where you're going to spend most of the time where you can enjoy it. Jesus never would tell us to lay up treasures in heaven. if he was going to automatically give them to you. I think this brings up another false doctrine, which I'm not going to take up. You can get something for nothing. We have the idea, well, I'm a Christian now, and I'll automatically get me some treasures. I don't find that in the Scripture. You might get some rewards, and you might get yourself some crowns, but I don't see anywhere where you're going to get yourself some treasures. Now, treasures are not a free gift. They are laid up. They are investments on your sacrificial giving to God. You know, little children have strange ideas about money and how you come by money. And I think they get this because they watch their parents when they go to the bank. And so what they look at, the parents take a little piece of paper. Of course, it's a check. But they don't understand that. A little piece of paper, they write down a few numbers and they sign their name to it and they stick it through a little old window at the bank. And before you know it, out comes the envelope, and they open the envelope up, and the child looks, and that envelope is full of money. Now, this is the idea that a child has about where money comes from. It used to be money grows on trees. You know, we don't say that anymore. Children say, well, money comes through holes in glass windows. All you have to do is sign your name on a little piece of paper. Now, we laugh at their simple but confused logic, and of course, when they grow up, they'll understand it's just not quite like that. But when it comes to the treasures of heaven, we have the same kind of logic as that little child. We imagine all we have to do is go up and sign our name as, of course, a child of God, and our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so all we have to do is sign our name and push it to the window, and God's going to give us a whole lot of treasures. Well, you know as well as I do, you're not going to get out of that bank any more or less than you've invested in that bank. And when you write down that piece of paper, your name, and the figure of amount of money, they're going to check and see if you have that much money invested or placed in their bank. They'll never cash your check for more than you have invested. If you don't have to put anything in, you don't get anything out. I don't care what you sign. Now, this is the kind of, I feel like, implication that Jesus points out, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The day will come when you're going to sign your name and you're going to stick it up there and say, now, Lord, give me my treasures. And the Lord said, I can't give you any more than you've laid up. I can't give you any more than you've already deposited. I can't give you treasures. That's something you're going to have to give yourself. Now, you're going to have to make sacrifices to lay up treasures on earth. You can't buy everything you want and lay up money in the bank. You can't spend wildly and foolishly and lay up any treasures on earth. Now, Jesus is simply saying here that you're going to have to choose in your place of investment. I remember talking to a lot of people, and they're always talking about how poor they are and they don't have any money for this or any money for that. And I don't understand these people. I know they make good money. Sometimes a husband and wife makes a fantastic income, $30,000 or $40,000 a year. And you get to talk about they don't have any money and they can't spend this and they can't buy that. And I'm always puzzled by the way these people talk. And yet when I investigate, while they have a saving account in this bank and they have a saving account in this saving and loan, they have a saving account in this and they have big investment in the company, while they've got money stored here and stored there and stashed here and stashed there, and they're forcing themselves to live as poor folks, going around saying, I don't have any money to spend. Well, of course not. They've got it all invested. Well, they'll have a lot, I guess, when they retire. But the point is, what are they going to have as Christians when they expire, and then, when, of course, when they go to heaven? Now, some folks feel like about the only treasure they want to have when they get to heaven is their loved one. And I don't, you know, have anything against that, and I think that is a tremendous treasure. But let me ask you a simple question. You got your loved one with you. Now let us say they're living with you and you're living in harmony. Is that enough to satisfy you? I mean, is all you have is just your loved one? You don't have a house, and you don't have a car, and you don't have any clothes, and you don't have... I mean, is the only thing you want out of life is just your loved one beside you? Well, I don't believe that's the truth. I believe you want your loved one, but you also want your loved one to have a house and a car and things that are nice and conveniences and luxuries and possessions of your own. I think the loved one is important, but I believe you want more treasure in this life than just a loved one. We think about the thief on the cross that was saved in the last moment of his life. We say, man, how fortunate he was, and that's true, and how happy he is today. But I want to say something to you, folks. I believe the happiness of that man could have been greater had that man had a time to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, I believe treasures do bring a certain amount of contentment and joy and delight, and the Lord gives them to us for that purpose, and I think the Lord wants us to realize that some of our happiness is going to be received in heaven from the treasures that are going to be ours. Now, that thief did not have in heaven and will never have all he could have had had he before been saved and laid up treasures in heaven. Your treasures in heaven are going to make a difference. Now, I believe that. First of all, and primarily, I believe they're going to reveal to everyone around you the sacrificial love that you had for Jesus while on this earth. I personally believe that Christians ought to be a regular depositor in the bank of heaven. I really believe that. So how are you going to do it? You can't ship your money to heaven. No, but I believe you can trade it in on some now things that will gain for you some forever things. There's one way you lay up treasure on earth to ship ahead to heaven, and that's by giving. Now, that's a painful word. I know it is. But that's the only way I know of that you can lay up treasures. It's going to cost you some of your money. I know many people say, well, all the church is after is money. All the preacher wants more money. But let me tell you something. Maybe you haven't thought about it. The money that you give, and I think you can give it to the poor, and you can give it to the hungry, and you can give it to the naked, and you can give it to the church, and you can give it to missions, and you can give it to evangelism. You can give in the name of God to so many worthy things. But there is a double blessing in your giving, folks. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I don't like the way sometimes the church uses the money. It's one of the great responsibilities of any finance community church to take money that does not belong to them, that belongs to God, and invest it wisely. And being human beings, they at times are going to make mistakes. But let me say this, money that you give to God is never squandered. And though sometimes a finance group makes mistakes and does not spend the money wisely, let me say to you that there is a double gift here. There is a gift that goes to the ministry that the Lord's work down here is supposed to carry out. And that same gift, that same amount of money, I believe, is laid up for you in heaven. The Lord doubles your money. The money you give to whatever it is you feel compelled to give to down here on this earth for God's work, the Lord lays up for you. He matches that in heaven. You're not going to lose it. Even if a man makes a mistake and does not use it wisely, you're not going to lose. The Lord says, all right, you gave $50. I'm going to lay up in heaven for you. No matter how that $50 on earth is spent, I'm going to lay up for you in heaven $50. And I want to make it simple. And I think that's the way to do it. There is a double gift. There is a gift that is used here in the ministry of Christ. And there is a gift matching it that's laid up in heaven that you don't see. And it's going to buy you treasures in heaven. You can't lose. I mean, the Lord's work down here is blessed, and you're going to be paid interest equal that blessing in heaven. So people say, well, all the preacher wants is money. No, that's not all we want. The bankers say, well, all the people want is money. Well, of course. You're investing, folks. You're investing in your future. You're just not doling out money for religious folks to squander and waste. You shouldn't give those kind of folks money anyway. But what I'm saying is you're investing in your future. If you put all the money in the bank and say, I'm not going to give God a dime, folks, you are ruining your future as far as treasures go. You're going to be the one that's going to lose. You may say, well, I get to keep it all down here. Yeah, but you're going to lose it. I mean, you're going to lose it. You put your money in a sinking ship. Well, I believe it. That part of your happiness and part of your delight in eternity now, folks, eternity is going to come from the treasures that you lay up down here for the work of the Lord. Sure, it'll cost you financially. All treasures cost you something. And yet I feel like this is the only chance you're going to have. I mean, you either invest now or forget it. You're not going to have a chance to invest once you get to heaven. That's going to be the end of it. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 17 through 19, Paul says, Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world to do good. Now, here's to tell you how to use your money. Now, you can be good to yourself to do good and be ready to distribute to those in need, willing to share, thereby laying up for yourselves treasures of a fine foundation for the world to come, proving that you have laid hold on eternal life. You know, I think we need to prove to ourselves and to the world and to other Christians that we really believe that there's such a thing as treasures in heaven. That we really believe that heaven is a good investment. That heaven is going to be a place of great delight and benefit and joy. I believe we need to show people that we believe that there is going to be great assets in heaven. How are you going to prove it? Telling them? No, when they see you investing, then they're convinced, man, you must really think that you're going to get some interest if you're going to invest that kind of money. And that's right. We need to convince people that heaven is a good investment. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I believe heavenly treasure is going to be a lot more vital than earthly ones. For one thing, they're going to last a lot longer. They're going to last forever. I believe you can be interested in this life and what you can get from Jesus in this life, but you better be also interested in what you're going to get from Jesus in the next life. And as far as treasures go, you're going to have to lay them up now. Somebody says, well, God will bake you a pie in the sky by and by out of the ingredients that you shipped to Him prior to your arrival. A man named Jim Elliot once said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I want to close with a story about a rich lady who had a maid. The maid died and went to heaven. Then literally died and she went to heaven and she was being given a tour of heaven. Of course, being rich, she wanted a mansion like the one she had down on earth. So she was walking along and she saw this beautiful home and she assumed, boy, that's going to be my place. And she walked by it and she asked the angel, whose home is that? And the angel said, well, that's the maid's home, your maid. So I don't want to stand. And then behind that big old house, there was a little bit of cottage. And she said, well, whose house is that? And she said, that's yours. She said, well, you got something mixed up. I mean, down on earth, she was the maid and I was the rich lady. How come she's got the big home and I have a little home? And he said, well, you see, we had to build the homes up here out of the materials that were sent from down there up to here. And she sent so much that we could build her a mansion, and you sent so little we had to build you a cottage.